Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one who spoke this world into existence, and the one who will bring it to a close. We're so thankful that we know that You're not only the God of heaven and earth, but we know that You are our Heavenly Father. We thank You for loving us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We know, Lord, that we cannot begin to comprehend the magnitude of the love of God. We're thankful that You've loved us with an everlasting love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're thankful that we are preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for all the blessings that You bestow upon us every day. We pray that You would accept our thanksgiving for the blessings that have already been ours today and all the days of our lives. And we pray that You would open our eyes that we might see more of the blessings that we have and that we might always remember that every good and perfect gift comes from Thee. Help us, Lord, to realize that even our parents and our families and our friends and the church and the Word of God and all the other blessings that we have every day, that they all are a special blessing from Thee. Help us now as we begin to try to study Thy holy Word. We pray that Thy Spirit would be our teacher. We acknowledge and we know that without Thee that we can do nothing, but we know also that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We pray that You would fill us with Your Spirit in this hour, that we might be able to hear and understand, believe and obey Thy holy Word. And we pray that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Bless us now as we hear the Word of God. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to read now from Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. Reading verses 14 through 20. The Word of God says, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith." Can you imagine? We read those words sometimes like it just, boom, it happened. Brethren, I want you to picture a man taking the jawbone of an ass and literally slaying 1,000 men with that jawbone of an ass. The scripture says in verse 16, "And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath-Lehi. And he was sore athirst." How many of you have ever exercised so much that you were very, very thirsty? That was his condition now. He has just fought. Sometimes I watch some fights that Brother Chris records, and those people are very, very tired toward the end. Sometimes they can barely box, barely hit towards the end of the fight. That's after just 15 minutes. I don't know how long it took for Samson to kill 1,000 men, but I know that the Spirit of God was upon him for him to be able to do what he did. It was a miracle. It was not in his own strength that Samson did what he did. The Spirit of God often came upon Samson, and he did mighty, marvelous things. In the previous chapter, in Judges chapter 14, the Word of God tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he slew a lion with his bare hands. Now in this chapter, he slays 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. But then verse 18 says, "And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" Do you hear what he's saying here? "I've just killed 1,000 men, and now are you going to let me die of thirst and then fall into their hands?" Verse 19 says, "But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived, wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakkori, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. As I read this during this past week, I was reading through, the thing that stood out to me is that how can a man of God like Samson be so strong in Judges chapter 14 that he could literally with his hands slay a lion? And I know the Spirit of God came upon him, but he could slay a lion. And then in this 15th chapter, he could slay 1,000 soldiers and even make a statement like he did in verse 18. He says, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant." He's declaring what God had done for him. "You have delivered me in a mighty way. And now, are you going to let me die of thirst?" It seems to me that it is a common problem in the lives of the people of God that when we have major things to face, that sometimes we do better facing big problems than we do the little things in life. The things that are not as urgent. And I know that we need water. I know that he was thirsty. I know that he could have died from thirst. But the thing is that when he faced the lion, he called on the name of the Lord. And when he faced the 1,000 Philistines, he called on the name of the Lord. You don't find that depression. You don't find that despondency. You don't find the doubt in any of the other places that Samson is facing great trials. You don't find the doubt that you find, "And this happened..." Him being thirsty happened right after two of the greatest things that man has ever done. And yet he says, "Now, God, are you going to let me die of thirst?" Did you know that sometimes in your life that you can face some major event, a big problem, and then the little things in life can throw you for a loop? I find in my life that sometimes when I'm facing big problems that I'm so keenly aware of my need and my dependence upon God, and I'm praying fervently to God, and I feel the Spirit of the Lord upon me, and I feel the mighty power of God, and I have no fear, I find then that sometimes right after that, I get depressed, discouraged, and despondent. And I then back up and try to figure out, why am I discouraged? Why am I depressed? Why do I want to throw in the towel right now? Why do I want to give up now? And it's always going back to some small problem that I've let the devil magnify in my mind as if God can't handle that problem too. But in our lives, brethren, we need to remember that the God who delivers us out of major problems, that same God is concerned about the smaller problems that we face in our lives. And the same God who has delivered all of us. As we look over this congregation, there are many of you who have faced major difficulties in your life. And the Lord has performed great miracles on many of you in this congregation. And I would say probably everybody here has had God deliver you from great serious problems in your life. And yet, we sometimes find that we doubt God. And that's what Samson is doing here. When he says, God, are you going to let me just die of thirst after you have let me do so many great things? Are you going to let me just perish for thirst right now? Can you think of other people in the Word of God that was their situation also, that they would face great men, they would face armies, they would face big problems, and they would be victorious as they looked to God? But then every time that a child of God forgets to look to God, and every time a child of God begins to doubt God, they're always going to fall, no matter how small the problem is. David fought many battles. And I know that Saul fought and won many battles also, but the Word of God tells us that David won many, many more battles than Saul ever won in his life. And David could go out and fight mighty armies and was a great soldier and was a great king. But then something that was relatively small came along, and David yielded to that temptation, and it caused great sorrow in his life. Did you know David could have resisted that temptation just like Joseph resisted a similar temptation in his life? You and I, as the people of God, we must stay close to God. We must remember that God can help us. Remember that God will help us. And we need to call on God in the big problems, but we don't need to forget Him on the little things. We need to call on God every day for every problem that we have. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we find that Elijah, just like we read just now about Samson, we find that Elijah, you remember how Elijah had 450 prophets of Baal. And there was a contest to see whether Baal was God or whether the Lord was God. And you remember how Elijah told those 450 prophets, you get two bullocks. You give me a bullock and you take a bullock. And you build your altar, and I'll build my altar. And he dug around that altar. And the people, that the prophets of Baal, they called on their God, and they cried to their God to come and send fire down from heaven to consume their sacrifice. But Baal did not respond. And Elijah mocked the 450 prophets of Baal. I'm telling you, it took courage. For it took courage for Elijah to stand there and say, my God is the true God, and your God is no God. And we, as the people of God today, we need to understand that there are many little gods in this world. And we need, like Elijah, we need to declare their gods are no gods. And doesn't matter what other religion you want to talk about, their gods are no gods. There is only one true and living God. And it's a shame and a disgrace when the people of God in America are trying to combine all the gods to be equal. And we don't want to offend all these other gods, but we're not concerned about offending the God of heaven and earth. Our nation has rejected the one true and living God and adopted and become friends with the gods of this world. I pray that God will bless you to be like Elijah, to stand up and say, your gods are no gods. There is only one true and living God. And Elijah proved it this day as they cried to Baal. Do you know what Elijah believed in? He believed in the power of the one true and living God. And he called on God after they had called on their God, and even mocked him and said, maybe your God's gone on a trip. Call louder. Maybe your God is asleep. Call louder. Cry unto him. And they cried louder, and they began to cut themselves, hoping that Baal would do something. And there was no response from Baal. And then Elijah told them to pour water. Go get 4 barrels of water. I believe it was 3 times that he told them to go get 4 barrels of water and pour it all over the bullock and all over the wood. And the water collected in the ditch he dug around the altar. And the ditch was full of water. And then God Elijah called on God, and then God sent fire down from heaven and consumed the bullock and the wood and the rocks that he had built the altar with. Consumed the rocks and lapped up all that water. I'm telling you, there is a mighty true God in the world today. There is only one true God today, and that is the God of heaven and earth. And brethren, if you want to know His name is Jesus.
Amen.
We need to call on the name of the Lord. Whenever Jesus sent out His apostles to baptize, He told them to go and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say the names Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said to go and baptize in the name that's above every name. To baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if you'll go and read the book of Acts, you'll find that everywhere they baptized, the Scripture says they baptized in the name of Jesus. That is the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You and I need to call on the name of the Lord. When we're having trouble and problems, it doesn't matter if it's financial problems or sickness or family problems. Doesn't matter what you need. Doesn't matter what your particular burden is. You need to call on Jesus' name. And when you see Him deliver you from those big problems and you give Him glory for delivering you from those big problems, you need to also give Him glory for delivering you from these little problems. And quite frankly, brethren, there are a lot of people that have a lot bigger problems than anybody in this building does. Sometimes we get to focusing on our problems. And we get to thinking about, oh, how big my problems are. I'll tell you, I got a letter this week from a lady thanking us for her prayers. She's a relatively young lady, and her husband has had a stroke. And she said that her husband sleeps about 16 or 18 hours a day. And that then his mind is just in a fog. And this family, this woman, has been taking care of her husband for years. Night and day. And the whole letter was not concentrating on the problems that she had. She was continuously in the letter giving thanks to God for being so good to her, to let her still have her husband, and to be able to have the privilege to take care of him. And he is not a burden to her, because God has given her a special grace in her heart to love her husband so much that she would rather have him in his condition. Not a total vegetable, but very much so. She would rather have him in that condition. And does not complain and has not complained for years. And they've lost everything they had. They don't have anything. And did you know that's a minor problem compared to a lot of other problems that are right here in this community? That's a minor problem compared to other problems. And so it's so sad when we have our little problems that we want to murmur and complain and think about the whole world ought to fall at our feet because of our problems. If you have problems, I want to encourage you. You get out and you start visiting, you start helping people, and you start doing things for others, and you will very quickly find there are plenty of people who have bigger problems than you do. But when you do have problems, whether they be big or small, don't ever doubt God's love for you. Don't doubt God's love for you. Trust in the Lord. Know that God does care. The Scripture says that Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And whatever your problems are, Jesus knows about them. But it honors the Father and it pleases the Son for you to take your petitions to the Father. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Brethren, God does care for you. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth. God cares for you. He cares about all of your problems. Did He care about Elijah? Whenever Elijah had those 450 prophets of Baal come against him, And do you know what he did to those 450 prophets of Baal after he had proven their God was no God? He slew the 450 prophets of Baal. Was Elijah a mighty man of valor? Elijah was a mighty man of valor against those 450 prophets of Baal. But the very next chapter tells us that Jezebel got after him and he fell down and cried like a baby and wanted to just die. Do you see the similarity between Elijah here fighting these men that were strong and mighty, fighting them and slaying them? And looking at Samson slaying those thousands Philistines and then acknowledging, God, you delivered me. Now are you going to just let me die of thirst? And now Elijah saying basically the same thing. Lord, you delivered me from the 450 prophets of Baal, and now Jezebel's going to kill me. Lord, just take my life. Don't let her get me. He was scared to death of a woman. Brethren, it's such a shame and a disgrace when our faith gets weak and we stop trusting in the Lord. I don't believe God was pleased with Elijah right here. God knew that he was a man. God knew he was dust. And God blessed him in spite of his failure and shortcomings. Same thing with Samson. God gave him the water that he needed in spite of the fact that he was crying in that particular moment. Go with me to the New Testament very quickly, if you will. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I want you to remember that what Samson said was back there in Judges chapter 15 and verse 18. What Samson said was to God, he says, Lord, you have delivered me from this great problem. Now, are you going to let me die of thirst? Second Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is praising God and telling the church at Corinth to praise the Lord. And he talks about how God takes care of us. Listen carefully. I know this is lengthy reading, but I want you to follow this because I want you to know that God has taken care of you in the past. How many of you know that God has delivered you from something major in the past? How many of you know that if God had not been there to help you, you would be dead today if God had not been there? See, you have been through just as much. You haven't fought 1,000 Philistines. But I'm telling you, when you've had a major battle with the devil, when the devil has been after you, and God has intervened and spared your life, you have been through just the same kind of problems that Samson did and that Elijah did. But you also need to pray, God, I know that you've delivered me in those major battles, and you need to say, I'm not going to worry about any other problems that come up in my life. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And what? Brother Mike was here. He's the one I always think about every time I read that verse. That's his favorite, one of his favorite verses of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We need to keep looking to God. Not just in the big problems, but in the little problems. Listen then in 2 Corinthians. And I'll close here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. The Word of God says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Brother Richard, have you ever been comforted by Sister Christina? Have you ever comforted her? Have you ever comforted your children? Yes, we all need to comfort each other. But I want everybody here to know, any person who has ever comforted you, it was God that moved in their heart to comfort you. He is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, the same degree that you suffer, you're going to be comforted to the same degree by God. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Do you know what that's saying? That's saying every time that you're suffering, the God of comfort is going to be there to comfort you. For we would not, brethren, I'm going to read verses 8, 9, and 10. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, is he going to bellyache when he went through all that? Here's what he says. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. God has delivered us from big problems. He is delivering us day by day. And it's in Him that we trust that He will yet deliver us in the future. Amen. I had a granddaughter that called us last night. There was a tornado warning. She was crying, very upset, because her mother was crying and upset. She said, told me on the way to church this morning, I wouldn't have been upset, but every time Mama gets really worried and starts reading the Bible and praying out loud, I know it's something critical. And we talked last night, and I said, now, Kylie, just trust in the Lord. And she said, I am, Papa. I'm trusting in the Lord. But I have one question. If I die right now, will I go to heaven right now? And that's what Paul's talking about there in 2 Corinthians 1. He said, we have the sentence of death in ourselves. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. And what does that do to all these things that Satan tries to attack you with? Oh, you might die. Oh, well, that's all right. I know what's going to happen. If that tornado takes me home, I'm just going to be like Elijah, going up in a whirlwind, going right on up to heaven, going to glory right then. It's all right. Don't worry about the storms. Don't worry about the literal storms, and don't worry about all these other storms in your life. Because God will take care of you. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.